feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Friday night on the Rita Cosby Show, but boy, it is a very, very busy news night. We're just hearing that U.S. warships are heading more in theater there in the Middle East, as it looks like an attack from Iran to Israel could happen at any minute, could happen in the next few hours. There are a lot of reports tonight coming from a lot of different credible sources saying that it could be happening possibly tonight, possibly over the weekend. And Iran has already said that there will be payback. Remember, after Israel went into Damascus and they took out a couple big Iranian generals who were doing a lot of death and destruction on Israel and overseeing a lot of the proxy groups and others. So tonight, there is a big expectation that cruise missiles and maybe drones and maybe a whole bunch more may be coming soon from what I call the head of the snake, Iran. And our president, you could say, in a sense, has emboldened Iran in so many ways. His message of appeasement, his being tepid through all of this, his being wavering, his being wishy-washy is so dangerous when you are dealing right now with what could be on the verge of World War III. I mean, this is very serious stuff. If the U.S. were to get drawn in, do you want this president to be in charge? This president has already, remember, he's the one who said, you know, well, if it's a minor incursion, and guess what happens? Russia goes in. And then, of course, what did he say just a few hours ago? Here's this big press briefing, and it's with all these reporters, and they're ready to talk about Iran and talk about this enormous threat that Iran poses. And listen to what our president said. It's one word, and it didn't work last time, and I don't think it's going to work again.
Yeah. Mr. President, what is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
Don't. Does that sound like that's really going to dissuade you? That's like, please, mother, may I? Please don't do it. And you're dealing with horrible players like Iran that are responsible for funding Hamas, that are responsible for Hezbollah, that are responsible for the Houthis, that those alone have had over 100 attacks on U.S. assets in the Red Sea, including one strike that took three U.S. service members' lives, and we did nothing there. So this is a really dangerous time in the world. And when you are dealing with evil and you are dealing with well-financed evil, because that's what Iran is, thanks to the lack of sanctions that we have put on oil and everything else, we could be on the precipice of something really serious. And the question is, what role will Biden play? What will he do to thwart it? Is there something that he could do or say right now? The problem is, even if he tries to look big and bad, it may be too little, too late. Because when you have a couple of years of appeasement and you could contend under President Biden, it's been a lot more than a couple of years, because it really started with Barack Obama and those pallets of cash in the middle of the night. And when you look at all of that, and now you suddenly try to act like, okay, you're going to do something when we didn't do anything after the attacks on our American troops, killing three Americans, and all we did was hit a couple empty warehouses. We're in a really dangerous situation. And military experts say this is really a tenuous, it's a sensitive time. It's a time where you want a seasoned player. And actually, you know what? You want a badass. That's what you want. You want right now someone like John Wayne at the helm, because you want them to go, uh-oh, I worry about that guy. Maybe that guy's a little crazy. And for all the mean tweets that President Trump had, they certainly did know that he meant business, because when the attacks happened and then he took out Soleimani, they understood right away what President Trump was about when it came to foreign policy. You do not mess with the U.S. and you don't mess with our allies. And one of my, I think, stories that I always think of that Trump has shared publicly the story about the leader of the Taliban. Because when the leader of the Taliban was kind of messing around with President Trump, there's the famous story that he's recounted, and other people who were there have recounted the same story. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, smart guy who was in the room with President Trump through all of it, and he recounted it with me and John Catsimatidis too. And I think about the history where he talks about the story. There's Trump. He's looking at the head of the Taliban, and the head of the Taliban is saying what they're planning to do, and da 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 da. And President Trump just shows him a picture, and the picture is of his house. In other words, you mess with us, guess what will be leveled in the next 5 seconds? We know where you live. We know where your family lives. And you better not mess with the U.S. And instead, we have a president who just says one word, don't. And guess what? People are going, I don't believe you. I don't believe that this is somebody that we should fear. And that really, really saddens me. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Tom. Go ahead, Tom. You're here on the Rita Cosby Show. Your thoughts.
Hi, Rita. I have to tell you something that it's going to make you upset.
Oh, good. I like that.
Okay. So there's a colleague of yours, a friend of yours, who has a podcast every other day on YouTube.
Okay. I don't know, but go ahead.
And for the last few months, he's been railing against Israel. Just 2 days ago, he had a guest on for a half an hour who said most of the victims on 10/7 were killed by Israeli helicopters, who says that Netanyahu let the 10/7 attack happen so Israel can gain territory in Gaza. And every other day, this man, who is a colleague and a guest of yours, and John Catsimatidis and Richard Weinberg, has been railing against Israel and has guests on that every day say sick things.
Who are you talking about?
Israel.
Who are you talking about?
Andrew Napolitano.
So Andrew Napolitano says things about Israel? I don't know about it. First of all, two things. I'm not going to speak about something that I don't know about. I do know Judge Napolitano. We've had him on Legal Opinions. We had him on today talking about Legal Opinions about the case with Trump and others. So all I can just tell you from my experience with Judge Napolitano, he's a very good, decent, great guy, a great legal expert. And I'm not sure what you're talking about. So I'm not going to comment about something that I don't know anything about, Tom. I'm not aware of any of these comments that he said. I'll take a look at it. I'll be happy to look at it because I appreciate you calling and saying that. By the way, I have heard of other people saying things like that. Not even necessarily guests that we've had on the show or anywhere else. But I don't agree with that, obviously. Everybody has a right to their opinion, but I certainly don't agree with that. And I can only speak to my experience with Judge Napolitano, which has been he's a great guy, and he certainly knows his legal stuff. I do not know about the Israel issue, but I'll take a look, but I appreciate it. But you know what? I'm not going to comment about something that I have no idea about. But let's just talk on the broader thing, Tom. Let's talk about the issue of what could happen right now. And what about President Biden? What are your thoughts?
Look, Biden has been sending weapons to Israel. He's been very good for Israel, but he talks on both sides of his mouth because he does not want to lose the election to an anti-Israel voting bloc. And that's what he cares about. As you've said many times, he is a political animal. And it's sad, but that's the reality. But when you look at other countries, for example, Ireland, who in lockstep their entire government and country has been railing against Israel, and other countries like South Africa, Biden has been doing, when it comes to Israel, has been doing an excellent job in providing weapons. But unfortunately, because of his statements that he makes, which tries to appease the anti-Israel voting bloc,
which is shameful, Tom. And you know what, Tom? Let me just get one thing. I agree. So far, they have been good on weaponry. But guess what happened? Nancy Pelosi, who's very close to Biden, it's not like she's a no-name in the Democratic Party. She's come out and said, maybe we should withhold weaponry to Israel. And there have been a number of other Democrats who have joined her. And also, separately, Tom, we've had Rashida Tlaib, who is the congresswoman from Michigan, which is home of the crazy American who was chanting death to America, death to Israel the other day. And she wouldn't even answer whether she would condemn the remarks. I'm not saying he's responsible for everybody, but he quite frankly is responsible to rein them in and also to condemn these remarks as the leader of this country. And he has never done that. Never done that, Tom. And you know what? He can give weapons all day long, but if he publicly undermines Israel and he publicly scolds Netanyahu, which he has, and he's intensified those scoldings, and then the best he can do when it looks like Israel is about to face an imminent attack is say, don't. That is pathetic, Tom. Your thoughts?
I disagree with you when you say things like the person who was yelling death to America, death to Israel is crazy. It's not crazy. These are passionate, hateful people who bottom line, want Israel destroyed.
I agree, which is why the president, that, you know, and here's where I take an issue, Tom. If those people said one of those things, in one of the countries, can you imagine? I saw the other day, Tom, it was like gays for Palestine. I'm thinking, what planet are you on? If you walk around and pretended like you were gay or you were gay in Palestine, they'd kill you or they'd stone you. They have no regard and no respect for human rights. And that's obviously terrible of the Palestinian regime. So my point is these people are ignorant, and some of the things they say are so downright destructive and so over the top and dangerous, where we had students hiding in Cooper Union in New York City, barricaded in because they were afraid that they were going to be like beaten. I mean, they were banging on the door. What if they got inside? It's not just hate speech. I mean, it's not just speech. It is well beyond hate. It's to hate speech, and it's also actions in some case, Tom. It's not just some light little rhetoric. And the president of the United States should have said something from day one. Don't do this. You know what? You guys, I respect free speech, all that stuff, but you cannot spew hate on American soil with one of our greatest allies about to be pummeled. And you're not, and you are allowing that by not saying anything. Silence is deafening, Tom, and it is creating, I think, a lot of the problems around the world. This lack of leadership has opened the door. You can give all the weapons, but if you throw them under the bus publicly and you don't scold those who are telling them they want river to the sea, which means, you know, eradicate Israel, then guess what? It is weak leadership, and it's undermining, and it's almost worse. This back and forth is so bad. And guess what? Hamas is watching, and they're going, God, what a bunch of suckers. We can go after Israel because even the president is criticizing Israel. That looks so bad, Tom. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, I agree with everything you say, but we are both, me and you, living in kind of a bubble. There is a massive growing thought process, not only amongst the most of the left in this country, but beginning on the right as well, where Israel is too much of a burden to bear, and we must give in to any and all demands that the Palestinians and their supporters have of Israel. That is unfortunately the reality and the truth, and it's creeping every day. I live in Manhattan. I don't even want to go into the things I've seen on of people with the posters and the whole thing, ripping them down and screaming and the marches. It's a growing problem that what I see from my experience and reading of history, and my grandmother, who was in various concentration and slave labor camps during World War II, this is a global problem that of a resentment against Israel, which is de facto against Jews. And it's very, very frightening.
I agree. I
go throughout my day where it's a mixture of between depression and panic. I see about how not just Americans, but every Western democracy on this planet, what is going on in their populace and in their politicians, how they talk about Israel. It is the scariest thing I have ever seen in my life. And I think in some ways, whereas, you know, Nazi Germany was passionate about their thoughts, but this is a global passion.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it is really, really frightening, Tom. And I agree. Some of the rhetoric that I've heard, and even, again, back to the rhetoric on some of these college campuses, I am stunned to see it. I was not aware. I'm not Jewish, but Tom, you may know my father grew up right outside the Warsaw Ghetto. And my father tried to help those inside and those outside. My father was Polish Catholic. So my father saw what happened during the Holocaust. My father lived it. And my father was a Polish resistance fighter with basically his whole unit almost wiped out. So you're talking to somebody who understands when evil comes to your country and comes to your homeland and how you must eradicate it. You must get rid of it, which is why I support what Israel's doing so much. Tom, thank you very, very much. Such powerful comments. We'll continue, everybody, with your call. 1-800-848-9222.
The Rita Cosby Show.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
It's the Rita Cosby Show.
The song is The World is a Ghetto by the group War. And wow, the world is a mess. And it may get to be even messier this weekend as we're bracing for what could be an Iranian strike on our great ally of Israel. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Norm. Norm, line four. Norm, your thoughts.
Oh, I am sickened by that previous phone call. That guy, you know, I figured that kind of wimpy diaspora kind of way that that Jewish man was talking. I hoped that that sort of fear and dread and angst, I hope that was kind of a dissipating.
Although I'll attitude. Say, Norm, hang on one second, just because he's not here, Thomas, but I will say that he was, you know, yeah, there was a little wishy-washy. I agree with that. On the other hand, he clearly also believes in defending Israel and making sure it stays put.
Rita Cosby is on. Cosby Show presents Back the Blue.
And in tonight's Back the Blue segment, by the way, which is sponsored by GoyaCares.com, because you are a precious gift from God. This is a really powerful story coming from Tacoma, Washington, where police officer Steve O'Neill and his colleagues were having lunch on Monday of this week at a police department substation when they heard over the radio that a teenager was drowning in Wapato Lake. Realizing that the lake was nearby, they immediately ran over to help. And it was a call for a 15-year-old girl submerged in several feet of water. The teenager had been arguing with her friends and accidentally went into the water. Her friends tried to help get her out, but they were unable to. So 911 was called. Officer O'Neill said he didn't hesitate to jump in when he and his colleagues saw the girl in the water. He said they could see her face barely above the water. She was not moving. He swam into the murky water and he grabbed the teenager, adding that it was very shallow when he walked in, but then suddenly there was a big drop off. He said, my biggest thing was to get her back to shore, and you don't practice this kind of stuff. So I had no idea how very difficult it was to move somebody out of water while you're in water. I just remember playing with my kids in the pool and getting underneath, hitting the ground, and jumping up to push them up. And that's what I did. He then moved into recovery position, and he passed her off to other officers, and then the fire department took her over to the local hospital, rushing her there, and she was in stable condition and is said to make a full recovery. By the way, it was Officer O'Neill's first water rescue. He said that as a parent and a police officer, there is no hesitation to protect and save other people. Bravo to this great officer and his quick reaction, and these officers who just happened to be not far and able to save this young woman who was clearly in dire, dire need. Well, we are talking about what is seems to be imminent, that Israel may be facing a major, major attack. And there is word that it could come from the sea and from the skies and the land. There is word that potentially there could be a two-prong attack from the north and from the south. And of course, we do know that Iran, which is called the head of the snake because they fund so many of these terror groups, and they fund Hezbollah in the north, they fund Hamas in the south. And of course, Hamas responsible for those horrible brutalities that took place on Israel on October 7th. And earlier today on Katz and Cosby, John Katzimatidis and I, and also Ed Cox, who was in the studio as well, we were talking with General Keith Kellogg, and he was former national security advisor during the Trump administration. And this is what he said. He was asked, you'll hear, is it going to be the mothership or could it be one of the proxy groups? Take a listen to what he said.
Hezbollah is a little bit reticent about getting involved in this fight because they know they're actually part of the government of Lebanon. They hold 13 of the 126 seats. They're trying to become quasi, you know, legitimate. And if they get involved, they know the Israelis are going to come north and probably head to the border of the Litani River. But guess who lives in that area? The Hezbollah families live there. So they're kind of going, oh, how far do we want to go here? Hamas doesn't have that capability. So it's going to be either the Houthis, it's coming in along with the Hezbollah, or the Iranians proper.
And then he was asked, what do you think the response will be? What type of attack could it be on Israel? And what could be the response? Now, listen to this, because General Kellogg, I wanted to play this because, boy, he went into incredible detail from his firsthand knowledge. Remember, former national security advisor in the Trump administration. And he described what some of the capabilities are that could be coming against Israel.
We've got a lot of things flowing, we, the United States, of things flowing into the region with aerial tankers, things like that. You look at Lufthansa Airlines, you look at Air France canceling all flights into the region. That means, because governments do talk to their commercial entities, that means something's happening this weekend. It's going to be some type of response. Here's the question that's going to have to be, it will be answered, but the question that needs to be asked is, what kind of response will Iran make? Because there will be one, because they actually did it with us with Soleimani. But we were alerted by the protecting power. You know, we don't have diplomatic relations with Iran. So you have what's called a protecting power. That means the Swiss cover our interests in Iran. The Iranians, through the Swiss, told us we're going to attack you after we killed Soleimani, but they told us where and when. We kind of observed it. Nothing happened. Nobody was killed. We had some bomb damage, but nothing big. So this is the kind of the same thing. People are being alerted in advance. Now, if the Iranians go over the head of their skis and they go too far, the Israelis will respond strongly. So the question is, what kind of response will Iran make? What kind of response will the Israelis make? Because again, Israelis will respond as well in all probability. Trump didn't after we got hit with Al-Assad because they didn't do anything. Then there was no damage, really. They hit sand. But let me just give you a bad scenario, because the question was earlier, do you walk into World War III? For example, if they really hit a lot of civilian targets and kill a lot of Americans, don't be surprised if the Israelis go after their nuclear facility at Fordo. Don't be surprised. And oh, by the way, when you deal with a nuclear power, you better be very cautious how you do it. Okay? Israelis are nuclear power. And if they think they're under existential threat, they can respond strongly. And that's the reason why when you look at what the U.S. is doing, the U.S. is also signaling the Israelis, hey, we're with you, and we're not going to let bad things happen to you. And that's the reason we're flying forces into the region. But it's all going to depend on the Iranian response.
That is chilling. When you just hear what the former national security advisor there in the Trump administration, who understands all the complexities, and I love General Keith Kellogg. He is so brilliant. And here he is talking about what could happen. So the question is, if Iran really takes a strong attack and Israel feels that they must respond after that, depending what it is, he's saying, don't count out that Israel might not go after Iran's nuclear facilities. That is really scary stuff. And also, what does it do in terms of the U.S. capabilities in the region? What if Iran gets really gutsy and says, you know what, this president, meaning President Biden, is really wimpy. And if we're ever going to make a move and do something bold, let's do it now. Because what if Trump comes in November? You know, what if he gets elected in November? The game changes, as we saw, the way that they got the message from Soleimani's takeout. So they may say, we got to hurry up and move in now. You just don't know. And you don't know if there's the mullahs are crazy. You don't know if there's somebody who does something even maybe kind of over the top more than some of the others. You just don't know what's involved here. And that is a very scary premise. And you hear people like General Kellogg and others that I've talked to in the last few hours who say, we could be on the verge of World War III, that this is very scary, very dangerous stuff. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Mike, line three. Mike, your thoughts.
How you doing, Rita? Yeah, I think Netanyahu is acting like a real leader, and he's putting his faith in God, okay? Iran knows what God did to them. And Israel knows what God did for them. They should put their faith in God, okay? Pea shooters don't mean squat, okay? These times have been ripe since 1948, okay? And if anybody needs any answers, Pastor Chuck Smith, he's awesome. I don't know if you ever listen to him, but you could punch in these times after 48 and stuff. He'll explain everything. He's a retired Marine. You'd love him.
Wow.
But he's awesome.
And by the way, Mike, this is definitely time for prayer. I will definitely say that. And I'm telling you, it's a very scary time when you know that it looks like something is coming. Iran is going to have to respond because two of their generals were taken out. Also, the Hamas leader, Ismail Haniya, who was in Qatar, got the word that his two sons and his grandkids were taken out in a strike in Israel that was in Gaza a couple days ago. So, you know, he's calling up Iran, too, and saying, I'm in, you know. There is something, there's so much. When you deal with the Middle East, I've spent a lot of time in the Middle East. And I had a breakfast years ago with Khatami, the supreme leader at the time. He came to the United States after 9/11. And he had a couple journalists that he wanted to have breakfast with, and I was one of them. And so it was myself and at the time Peter Jennings and a couple others. And these people, they see this as sort of, end of times, you know, and they look at these moments and they look at also stature and expectations in the region and leadership positions in the region. They also look at weakness coming from the U.S., and that is a dangerous, dangerous combination. And that's why I think the whole world rightfully should be on edge right now and ready. And also, we have to protect Israel because who knows what Iran is going to do, which also just shows that Iran still has this complete expectation to wipe Israel off the map, as Hamas does, as Hezbollah, as the Houthis, as some other characters, too. And that's why America cannot waver. This gray coming from our president is so incredibly dangerous at this time. Let's go to Oscar, line one. Oscar, your thoughts.
Well, I just want to reinforce the idea that, you know, this, should Iran attack Israel, this could very easily draw in players that we're not seeing right now, mostly and namely Russia, the Russian Federation, insofar as that, you know, Russia and Iran have a very close relationship militarily and economically and diplomatically.
Yeah, that's and a great point. That's a great point.
And just to make sure that the audience understands clearly, Russia still maintains the largest thermonuclear weapons arsenal on the planet. That, and again, they could incinerate New York, Los Angeles, any city they want. And moreover, their missile delivery systems are more sophisticated than ours. They have hypersonic missiles that go at Mach 10, Mach 15. And not only at that speed, but they're also capable of changing trajectory.
By the way, Oscar, I'm also just reading a message that a friend sent me earlier, because you reminded me of something, that how Russia has rebuilt its military to pre-war levels. So to your point, and we're talking about pre-Ukraine war, that they are making so much money on selling oil and the lack of sanctions by the U.S. and others against them, that they have the capabilities like you're talked about, that they are very, very emboldened. And you're right. There's a lot of other players that could potentially come. What about China, too, Oscar? What do you think about China?
Well, China could very well. China, like Iran, has a close working relationship. But I want to bring your attention back to 2015, when Putin sent his forces into Syria to prop up the dictatorship of Bashar al-Assad. He understood that the collapse of Syria was not in Russia's interest geopolitically. It would release a lot of jihadis into the Russian Federation. And just as Putin recognized that the collapse of Syria was not in the interest of the Russian Federation, the collapse of Iran is even less so. So again, any Iran-Israel conflict, again, could easily suck us in to the Third World War. And just to make sure that people understand what that means, there are two things I want to point out as resources. Number one, I can't give the entire conversation justice in just a two-minute phone call, but there's one place which is a nonpartisan organization. It's the Council for the National Interest. It was founded by two Republicans, but again, it's nonpartisan.
Good to know. Council for the National Interest. We'll definitely check that out. Oscar, you're terrific. Thank you very much. Let's go to Jacqueline. Jacqueline, your thoughts about this moment. Oscar brought up some great points about Russia and China and all the other players here.
I hope I don't repeat what he said, because I was going on hold at that time, so I didn't hear all of his conversation. But I think what I'm about to say will probably enhance what he said. In my opinion, this is all the fault of Joseph Robinette Biden and his former boss, Prince Obama. They laid out all the groundwork for this, emboldening Iran, empowering them financially, and Joseph Biden has made the United States of America the laughingstock of the world. I don't know. I mean, this is very concerning. It's very upsetting. He has further destroyed our military, which was the strongest in the world and the most revered. Now we've got Silly Millie in charge, and he seems to only be concerned with trans agendas, transferring people across state lines from the military for abortions, rather than strengthening our military. And as you stated, Russia is now back to their pre-war armament. So we are right now in an extremely vulnerable position.
Yeah, I agree. And that's a scary place to be, Jacqueline, just as you talked about. And I think the fact Russia's loving this moment, and Russia might try to do something to pull us in. Iran, I don't know if they want to. I think they would probably not want to right now. They seem to enjoy kind of being the behind the scenes player. But obviously they're going to do something because the world is watching. What are you going to do? So I think they're going to do something. But who knows? Maybe they see this as a moment. If they're ever going to kind of go after the other Satan, which they consider America, maybe now's the moment, because they do see a narrow window. And if I'm a bad guy, I go, God, let's hurry up and act now, because President Trump is not going to take this. You know, I mean, that's a sad reality, but that they smell weakness, and weakness is a dangerous place to be when you're dealing with dictators in the Middle East, especially. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll continue your calls, everybody, after the break.
It's the Rita Cosby Show. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
Continue talking about Israel. Also, some news on the Trump front, because his first criminal trial, the first one for a former president in American history, is going to take place on Monday. And he revealed some things that he will and will not do in the courtroom, because he has to be there every day. So that's big news. We're going to talk about that. And also a bust. Thank goodness. A bust of a teenager who shoved that woman down the stairs. We're going to talk about the case that's of the Queens going to church, a grandmother, 8:20 in the morning on a Sunday. And thank goodness they got the perp. And what a surprise, a repeat offender. What a surprise. We'll get into that and more. By the way, also, we also have talked a bit about O.J. Simpson. And latest word is that O.J. Simpson, believe this, this is amazing, he died owing Ron Goldman's family $114 million. Now, remember, he was acquitted in the criminal trial, which is a whole other question. But in the civil trial, he was ordered to pay both of the families for Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. He was ordered by the courts to pay both families over $33 million after the wrongful death civil lawsuit. And then there was also interest. He was found liable in the case. And with interest and all the other things, it comes out to about $114 million. So now the families are saying that they want to see what kind of assets he had. Was he hiding stuff all these years? What other things? Because he claimed, oh, I didn't have it. And then he was moving into different accounts. And then he was out on the golf course. Remember, he didn't have any money. But he seemed to be living life large. So anyway, they're now going to be seeing what kind of assets he has, if they can get some of that money that was supposed to be given to both of their families. Obviously, none of the dollars will ever replace the loss of their loved ones. And they both vehemently feel, the Goldman family and Nicole Brown Simpson's family feel, that that O.J. was guilty, guilty, guilty. And we'll see now, after his passing, if he'll pay, pay, pay. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Susan, line five. Susan, your thoughts.
Hey, Rita, you started out this evening, which was very good. It is Friday night, and you gave the example of, you know, how we're stuck with Biden, who is just totally incompetent in any kind of negotiations. In, you know, this threatening situation that Israel is in, and our troops against Iran. And it reminded me of two things other that President Trump did when he was in that kind of set the tone.
Yeah, real quick, Susan,
with,
real quick.
Yeah. Okay, well, Russia, he told Putin that if he even stepped his little toe into Ukraine, that he would bomb the hell out of Moscow.
And what was
and
the second?
Also, yeah, and he also said to Xi, when they were having chocolate cake in Mar-a-Lago, that he just bombed 59 bombs into Syria.
That's right. I remember that. He was like, finish your dessert. But let me just tell you what I did when I stepped away for a few moments.